Good morning. We're pleased this morning to have Karina Voth with us to share some of her art singing with us, so she's going to come up.
I just want to let you all know I'm doing a bit of a kickback to Easter. I know it's a bit late, so we're starting off a little melancholy, but as usual, we're going to brighten it up a little in the end, the way Easter goes. And that's what I'll have to say.
Please join me in a call to worship. If you'll take your blue hymnals and turn to number 660, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And you might as well just keep your blue hymnals out and turn to number 407. Welcome here on this gray April morning, but I tell you, I will take April rain over April snow any day. It's okay with me. Do we have any guests who wish to be introduced or want to introduce themselves? If not, welcome here, everybody. And I think it's time for the kids to come up to the front for a children's story.
Good morning. Just waiting for Connor and Nadia. I saw them upstairs. She's the new Paul. Good morning. Wow, lots of you here this morning. Great. I'm going to use the same prop that I used last week. And I guess you can all tell, what is it? It's a puzzle, right? And last week we talked about how church is like a puzzle, and the people in the church are all like different pieces of the puzzle. And if someone's not here, or if we're not all working together, can we finish the puzzle? know. So, and this is a kind of cool puzzle because it also turns into a 3D. So if we're missing a very crucial piece, or sometimes it's even just a little tiny piece, the whole puzzle might not even stand up. So today we're going to use the puzzle again, because what happens when you're working on a puzzle and one piece is missing? It's not done. And what do you do if you're working on that puzzle and you're missing a piece? Raylan. You go and look for it. Exactly. Or mom goes and looks for it. So we are kind of, again, like the puzzle, like that. So God sees us as each of the pieces of his puzzle, and if one of us ever goes missing, God goes out, and Jesus goes out and looks for us and tries to bring us back so we can make the beautiful picture that we were meant to do. And because we're Mennonite, we go one step further. If Jesus goes out and looks for us, then we should also go out and look for people that need help and go and find them and bring them in to make our puzzle picture more beautiful. So that's what the grown-ups are going to be talking about today. And I think you guys are all going to take little pieces of something and make something beautiful out of the little pieces, right? Right? Just don't lose any pieces. And if you do, go and find them so that the picture can be beautiful like it was meant to be. Okay, can we bow for prayer, please? Dear Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. We are thankful that you came to save those who are lost. Help us to show your love to others so they can love you too. Amen.
There's a few things to highlight in your bulletins of things going on in our church community. To start with, I think when your bulletin was emailed to you, there was an extra email announcement for the Willing Helpers about April 25th to that Stephanie Winger will be speaking about what it means to be the hands and feet. That's at 7 o'clock on April 25th, and if you have any questions, to contact Frieda Redekop. A few other things to highlight. Next Sunday, Ray Dirks from the Mennonite Heritage Center will be here. There will be some art hanging on the walls, if I'm correct about that, out here. So that'll be pretty neat. Let's see what else. If you turn to number 8, if you're planning to work at summer camp this year, or either in a volunteered or paid position, please talk to Pastor Gary. There will be a special blessing for camp workers and one Sunday in May. Are there any other announcements to highlight? Anyone? If not, we'll move into some sharing time, some news about our church family. Under number 1, Peter Hirschfeld has been moved from intensive care to a step-down ward and has made substantial progress this past week. So this is great news. He's starting physiotherapy and is slowly gaining strength every day, but still not ready for visitors. So please keep Peter and his family in your prayers. Under number 2, Gary Hebert, keep Gary and Donna in your prayers as Gary continues with his radiation treatment. Number 3, Hildy Wientz is continuing with chemotherapy, so please remember her. And also, Jordan in New Zealand continues with physio and is still has some ways to go there, including a knee that has deteriorated, so please keep Lainey and Jordan and their family in your thoughts and prayers. We'll open it up now to anyone who might want to share something. If not, let's move into a time of prayer. Loving God, you have reconciled us in Jesus Christ and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. We pray for those in our church family who are struggling with illness, for Peter Hirschfeld, Gary Hebert, Hildy Wientz, Jordan Lucier, and their families. We pray for our kids in the north who see death as the only solution to their troubles. We pray for our girls in Nigeria who are still missing. We pray for kids to the south of us who are hearing and witnessing messages of hatred and intolerance and sexism and coming from the people in power. And we pray for kids in our own city and neighborhoods who are hearing the same messages. We pray for all those from whom we are estranged. Bring healing to strained or broken relationships. Forgive us for the times we have wronged others, whether by ignorance, neglect, or intention. Grant us the courage and the grace to seek their forgiveness and opportunity to make amends. Where others have wronged us, grant us a gracious spirit, that we might forgive, even as we have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 6, verse 2. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
Thank you so much, Karina. I really enjoyed your singing this morning. After, I don't know about you, but, well, I guess you wouldn't be here, but after I hear the children's story on Sunday morning, it makes me want to rewrite my sermon. So, I haven't got time for that. I was wondering today, though, about the, Ingrid said that people in the church are like puzzle pieces, and I thought, oh, we've got bumps and divots. But there's a sermon in there somewhere. Well, I'm not sure we all want them mentioned. So this is the third and last Sunday. We're talking about what it means to be an Anabaptist Mennonite Christian. We ran out of these booklets. I was trying to get them into everybody's hands. And so if you, Leanna printed some more up, so there are some at the back and some in here, please pick one up. They're worth reading through. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus is the center of our faith. What we believe is that we should follow Jesus. We don't understand everything about faith. To say that we believe doesn't mean that we've got this all figured out and we've got all the theology right and there's a reason why we follow John Howard Yoder instead of John Wesley or John Calvin or whatever. What we understand is this. Jesus taught us things, Jesus modeled some stuff, and we follow that. That's what's at the core of who we are. And so when there are some variances between us, that's okay. We can still hold hands or put an arm around the shoulder and say that we are sisters and brothers. Last week we talked about the importance of community. We talked about community as being at the center of our life. And we talked about how important it is for us to embrace and care for each other. That there's got to be room for each other at the table. And we talked about how it was important that we sorted out God's word together, that we forgave each other. And we talked about community as a place of service, number one, and then unity, equipping, and maturity, growing up. Things happen when we, as Christians, we get nurtured and watered and we change. Today we want to look at the job that God has given us to do. What is it that we as Anabaptist Mennonite Christians do? Now, for those of you who aren't part of the Anabaptist Mennonite tradition, just a heads up on where we're going here. We're not suggesting that what we believe is better than anybody else. It's who we are. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that we're all like different parts of the body, and when we work together, it works. And we often think of that as being one church. You know, one person has music, and one person speaks, and the other person collects the offering or whatever. But it's also churches. So we need the Lutherans to be good Lutherans, and the United to be good United, and the Pentecostals, and the Catholics, and Springs, and everybody does their part well. We all benefit from that. So we need to be good Mennonites, right? Okay. So as we were listening to the text that Lisa read, Paul says there's a focus here on our work. It's not that we as a church got together and said, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I know. Let's do this. God came up with a plan. God has a plan. God's plan is reconciling the world to himself in Christ. So what he's saying is that things went all squirrely when sin came along, and God's putting it back together in Jesus Christ. Making things how they ought to be. Now, there's something really important in this. He's not talking about destroying everything and starting again. He's saying, God says, I can fix that. I can fix that. And that's why he sent his son. And so we read in John 3:16 and 17, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should have life. And so what he's coming down to do is renovate. And so we're the fixer-uppers, I suppose. So God has this plan. I'm going to renovate the world. We're going to change things. And then he looks to us and says, so go and do it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that in the text that God says, I want you to be the ones to do the work, I get this bit of a cold shiver going through me. I say, just a minute. I don't think I'm ready for this. If I'm going to, you know, I just forgot the word we were using. Reminds me, I read a story the other day and reconciliation. Read a story the other day. This guy kept calling his wife sweetheart and honey, and finally the child went to him and said, you know, it's so sweet that all these names you have for mom. And he says, actually, I forgot her name a couple of years ago. Okay. So what did I just say? I can't believe this. You were listening. So God has given us this task of reconciliation. We're going out to reconcile. And so I stop and I look at myself and I say, okay, a little bit of introspection here. So we look at areas of our life where we need reconciliation. And the first area is I need reconciliation within myself. Some of us think of ourselves as less than we ought to. We really beat on ourselves. And we don't recognize ourselves as the amazing, wonderful people that God has made us. And we keep running ourselves down. We keep thinking other people are doing a better job. We look at all the amazing people around us. And we go, who am I? Some people have the opposite issue going on. They look at everybody else and they say, bet you wish you were like me. And we see that showing itself through things like racism and looking down on people who are from a different socioeconomic status or whatever the difference is. Either way, we need to be reconciled within ourselves. We need to have an honest evaluation of who we are. We need to be able to look in the mirror and says, ask Gary. And God has got some work to do in him, but God can still use him. Amazing, amazing, right? The second area that I think we need to talk about reconciliation is right here. We're the church. And so we're saying we want to get out there and bring God's message of reconciliation. We need to talk about it here. So, let's talk. Stuff happens. Stuff happens in a church because there are people in a church. And that's not the issue. The issue is, what do we do with that? When the wheels fall off, what do we do? And like I said, that it happens is normal. But where we go with it is important. We, as followers of God, whose plan is to reconcile everything back to himself through Jesus, we do not have an option to hold grudges. Not okay. We do not have an option to hang on to old stuff that's been building up and say, I don't like those people because of whatever reason. We, as the people of God, have to ask the question, how is God renovating us? How is God bringing us back in Christ Jesus? How are we reflecting what we want to tell the world that God wants to do with them? And so it's a bit of a sobering thought, but we need to look at ourselves and say, And we do that by looking back 2,000 years, and there's been all sorts of things, and some of the things we kind of, parts of history we don't want to look at, and we have our own history as a church as well. Hit a few potholes. What happens after that? We reflect the reconciling work of God by making things right. We want to pick this up in fall. We want to spend some time looking at healing, how God heals us from the inside out to become the people that God wants us to be. The third area that we need to look at is the area of our neighbors. What is the reconciling work that God is doing between us and the neighbors? The people we live with, the people we work with, the people that are in our family, our ex, our enemies? Does God do reconciling work there? Well now, good question. Let's go back to the text. God is reconciling some stuff back, everything. Now, we all know there are some people that are really hard to get along with. Maybe I'm one of them. I'm not sure. There are some people that are hard to get along with. And what does Paul say about that? Romans 12:18. As far as it is possible, be at peace with everyone. As far as you have anything to do with it. Well, it turns out that I have more to do with stuff with other people than I want to own sometimes. Sometimes I want to say, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I don't like them. Look what they did to me. Look how they treated me. I have every right to be royally ticked. And we're right, we do. But God's plan doesn't have to do with our rights. God's plan has to do with what God is up to here. Bringing things on board. We say we can't. Of course we can't. That's why, what does the passage say? In Christ. We talked about a couple of weeks ago about how we recognize we need to turn around. So we have the desire in us through Jesus' teachings. We have direction through his death. We have freedom from the addiction we have to sins. And through the Holy Spirit, we have power to do things. Things can change. And we can begin to work at that. And so when we take a look at people that we have every reason in the world not to like, we ask the question, how do I work at reconciliation with these people? I'm not suggesting that we should put ourselves in abusive situations. It's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is, how do we make things right with the people around us? How do we do that so that an avenue is open for God to do his reconciling work in them? Now, I don't know about you, but that last point just really bugs me. Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to make nice to people who haven't been nice to me. I want to give them what they deserve. I want to teach them a lesson. I want to show them what it's like when they treat me like that. So, okay, back in character here. What else do we need to reconcile with before we're ready to get out there? How about nature? God made us. God made nature. God said to us, look after it already. And we said, yeah, whatever. And maybe what we need to do, and I don't have a plan here. I'm not telling you what we need to do. You know, don't use this kind of stuff and use that. That's all I'm saying is, when you sit down to pray about it and think about it, what do you need to do to be reconciled with nature? What do you need to do to be a child of God caring for the stuff that God put in your path? So I'm just going to leave that with you, and you can figure that one out. Let me know when you've got it done. Well, there's a lot of more things that we have to work at, but those are a few of the things that sort of came to my mind that I need to work at in terms of I need to work at reconciliation within myself. Now, reconciliation doesn't back up a clock. I mentioned before being reconciled with your ex. That doesn't mean everything goes back to the way it was in the happy days. We find a way through where we are now. It just means not carrying a lot of hatred and resentment and wishing bad for the other person. All right. So now we heard the message. I want to reconcile the world to myself through Christ. And then we heard, and I want you to be my ambassadors. And so just before we got up to go out the door to do that, we said, oh yeah, I got to think about things. Okay, we've done that. And now we head out the door. And we take a look around us, and it's overwhelming. Feels like Humpty Dumpty. The world is the egg, fell off the wall and broke, and we're all the king's horses and all the king's men. And, well, you know where that one goes. We don't know how to put it back together. Look at the world this past week. Lisa referenced Attawapiskat, something like that. 11 people attempted suicide about a week ago. That's not the worst of the story. Since last September, in this community, it's Northern Ontario community of 2,000, over 100 people have attempted suicide. Something's wrong. Suicide causes the highest rate of death in Indigenous people under the age of 44. Not sure why that's the number, but it is. 5 to 6 times higher death by suicide than in non-Indigenous communities. Something's wrong here. We take a look at our world. Syria, bit of a scuffle, right? It's been 5 years. 5 years it's been going on. And suicide bombers show up here, there, and wherever, and kind of jar us all, and it takes us 2 days, and then we kind of forget about it, and we get back on with life. It keeps happening, right? Nature. We saw this last week. There was some more earthquakes in Japan, and the drought in, is it Ethiopia, I think, is getting worse. 4 years, it's terrible. The ice is setting in the Arctic. It's getting worse than ever. Apparently, Sarah Palin is putting out a movie, the lady who gave us The Country of Africa, saying that there's not a problem, but, well, she could see Russia from Alaska, so what do I say? We have a problem. And so we see all this brokenness and we say, how exactly is God going to bring about reconciliation? Well, I think about our world and we see the brokenness, the 800 million people who are chronically malnourished, the tens of thousands who die every day of starvation. We see abuse and racism and all of these things, and it gets overwhelming. And so we start looking for traction when we get out the door and we say, what do I do? What do I do? What can we do? And there's a million things we can do. And I see many of you doing them. And so we talk about hunger, and I see people here participating in Winnipeg Harvest, which uses a space in our church, and you help at some of the other places which feed the hungry. I see you participating financially in programs that MCC has to help out around the world. I see you being generous in that direction. There's so many ways. Working at MCC to raise money to send over to an area that has drought, or to teach farming, or to help with relations where there's racism and so forth. There's lots of little things we can do. There's a million things we don't know. What do we do? How do you reconcile people who don't want to be reconciled? How do you reconcile people who have, it seems, they've made decisions to live destructive lifestyles? And what do you do with these people? What do you do when there's health issues involved, so that people don't have the strength to do the kinds of things they would wish to do? What do we do when it seems like there are people who carry the word Christian who go around and abuse justice and use the name of Jesus to beat people up? What do we do with that? I don't know. But the passage is incredibly hopeful. It doesn't say, God has chosen to use Gary because he's just such an amazing guy to bring reconciliation to the world. Who are we in trouble? God is doing this. And what God says to us is, he puts this little piece in front of us and he says, here, I want you to care for the environment. I want you to be generous when they're having a food drive. I want you to start speaking up when people have racist jokes and say, that's not appropriate. I want you to not give up on people who may have given up on themselves. I want you to help out at MCC, whatever. God places in front of us a little bit. And he says, oh, the world, I'll look after that. Don't give up. It's gonna happen. I'll do that. Here's your part. You're my partners, and together with all of the people around the world who carry the name of Christ and long to see the kingdom of God come, together we're going to hold hands and make this happen. I don't know if you've ever participated in the Love Winnipeg trash pickup day that they have. So you get together five people and you do this street. That's one street and five people. But when all the people get together, and we still live in Steinbeck, and so they do that there. They tell us how many tons of trash are picked up. And we go, whoa, that's amazing. And then you think, how much did I pick up? Like two garbage bags full, maybe? But it's the accumulation. And so what the text says to us is, your little bit counts. The person that you didn't give up on, the smile that you offered, the way that you committed yourself to not hate somebody, to leave the door open, that is God reconciling the world to himself. It amazes me the way God trusts us. He says, I've got this huge plan. I'm going to do the whole world. And I want you to be a part of it. You in your small corner, as the song went when I was a kid, and I in mine. May God give you clarity and honesty as you assess your own life, and a sense of accomplishment as the little things you do, you look at them as part of God's larger picture, as the puzzle piece we heard about earlier. And may God give you joy knowing that what God is about, you are participating in, and it will happen. Amen.
We want to sing together again, number 372, 372, O Healing River. I'm not sure if we've sung this one or not, but it's fairly simple. So join in as you are able, and if you know it, please sing out.
Launch your hymn book, turn to number 429, and please stand for the benediction, the closing song. People of God, dearly loved, God's trusted method of bringing reconciliation. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Let's sing Go Now in Peace once through all together, and then we'll sing it twice in a round. We'll have group one start, and then group two will follow. Hopefully we'll be all right. Balcony, you can split.